Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Foote.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah. And my damn strong football team.
We are back. Feeling refreshed. Week off.
Here we go.
Week is upon us. Gentlemen, it has been like an eternity, it feels like, since I last seen your faces and all that fun stuff. But again, we are here, talking sports with the 12th man, right in the middle of traffic, man. We got a lot of things to catch up on, and I'm really proud that Rob kept the topics concise, man, because we have a lot to discuss, man. But without further ado, let me check in with the fellas. JQ, I know you were a little under the weather, which was fine last week. How are you feeling, sir? Are you feeling good?
Yeah, man, I'm doing better. I just got a little cold, I believe, you know, and when I got my first shot today, so arm's a little sore, but I'll be all right. But hanging in there, bro. How you doing?
That's pretty good, man. I got my second dose today, man, so I know what you're feeling right now, man. So I'm a little sore, man. I was, like, sleeping until I got on. Like, man, I was out. So I was going to check with Rob to make sure he's feeling good too, man. So, but hopefully we'll go knock this out too. So how you feeling, Rob?
Feeling good, man. Glad to hear you guys are getting vaccinated. That's a quickest way for us to get back to normal. And I'm 2 weeks removed from my second shot, so I'm fully vaccinated now. 2 weeks removed from my second shot, so feels good. So would like to let you all know I did not eat any asparagus today. I had a nice salad for lunch, no salad. And your boy just has some Popeye chicken tonight. So no asparagus.
Oh my
yes,
God.
Sir.
He's going through withdrawals right now.
So what?
I said you're going through withdrawals probably, your body not having asparagus
and,
over there.
And Gary, you know, thankfully Voodoo Donuts didn't have that asparagus donut over the weekend.
Yeah.
So
that's not good. I was gonna say the vaccine is pretty much to protect you from everyone else. Because, you know, in Florida, they're like, that's a mask, man. They want no mask over there, too. So take the vaccine.
Well, I tell you what.
You against everybody else. Go ahead.
I was impressed in Orlando, though. Orlando, none of the parks was playing around. Disney Springs, Universal Walk. They were sending you out if you didn't have a mask on. I was really impressed by that. Everybody had a mask
on.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. West Coasters, Curtis, Gary, how you guys feel this evening?
Man, I can't complain about anything, and I'm glad to be here. I really missed last week, though, but I'm glad we're here this week, and couldn't be happier.
I'm sure. Well, I have some asparagus today. There's a
good for you.
Oh, gosh.
That had asparagus and they were fantastic.
I gotta see the picture.
Oh my goodness, that's a good
idea.
Hey guys, I just want to say that I'm definitely a little upset
on our show.
You started it, Rob. Damn asparagus love, man. It's all good. I'm just surprised, number one, fellas, that y'all ain't representing your teams, man. This is draft, man. This is the draft week, man. Y'all should be coming. I mean, that's like, I'm fucking jerseys, man. You know, I'm just saying, you know, y'all, I expect to see Rob in some New Orleans gear.
Mine ain't going to be on Thursday night. You better believe that.
I'm just saying.
Oh, absolutely. I'm
going to
be on Thursday. Come
on.
Just a little something light today. A little something light.
I am representing my team.
This is red, right?
Oh, my.
This is an ALS shirt. I'm representing Team Curtis. So
All right, Curtis.
I'll let you know that. That's all good. I can't talk drunk about that, but it's all good. But anyway, all right.
Best believe I have my sync stuff on Friday. Probably all weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That part's Thursday, by the way, but it's all good. Hey, all right.
Oh, Thursday, you're right.
As always.
You guys ready for it?
We are definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Let me throw the numbers really quickly. The 424-243-9519 is always the number to follow your boys. Call us and check in with the show. I'm going to probably expect to get a Naj sighting pretty soon here, guys. Also, follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMEN Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook, facebook.com/TalkingSportsWithTheTwelfthMan. Or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us. And you will find mock draft number 10.30.5, something from Rob, if you will. He posted a mock draft. His final mock draft before the official day, too. So somewhere in there.
It's my second to last one. I will have one more before the draft.
You can do one more? Okay, I got you. I didn't know if you're the last one. Okay, that's what's up. Okay, cool, because I saw whatever you posted last
week,
so I didn't know where we are.
This is the second to last mock. I will have one more before the draft.
Okay, I thought you were going to give it a rest. All right. Well, let's jump right into it, fellas. So it's tough because some people are like, I'm not even watching ESPN this week, but some people are like, there's so many lying and cheating and smoke screens that are going down. Let's talk about the first question out the gate. Will Kyle Pitts be the one to shake up the draft? I'm going to say no, it's going to be a quarterback, but that's just Andre. But again, let's throw it out to the fellas, Rob, JQ, Curtis, Gary, and then back to Lou, as you will. So go ahead, if you will.
I think there's a potential he can be the one to shake up the draft. But, you know, I will, as opposed to a player, to me, it's the 49ers and the Falcons that could really shake up the draft more
Absolutely.
Than a player. I mean, the 49ers are still up in the air. You know, who are they going to take here? It seems like all indications are Mac Jones, but I hear Trey Lance. There's some people in the organization still want them to go to Trey Lance. So it's going to be intriguing. Then Atlanta, what does Atlanta do? They draft a quarterback. Do they go to Kyle Pitts? Do they go to Jamar Chase? Do they trade down in the draft? So a lot of question marks there. So to me, I think the 49ers and the Falcons hold the cards on, you know, I think what will shake up the draft. Kyle Pitts, he could go as high as number 4. You know, I even heard that there's a small chance he could go 3 to the 49ers. I don't see that happen. I don't see the 49ers moving all the way up to 3 to draft a tight end. He's a potential, could go number 4, but right now I have him going number 6 to Miami and giving Tua another weapon down there in Miami. So right now I got Kyle Pitts going number 6 to the Miami Dolphins, but could easily go as high as number 4.
I heard that San Francisco is comfortable with, you know, 3 of the 5 picks.
Yeah.
What was that?
I heard that San Francisco is comfortable with taking any one of the 3 of the 5 draft picks. That's what I was reading this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's going to come down to Mac Jones and Trey Lance, though.
Uh-huh. I agree. I don't think it's Kyle Pitts. I agree with you, and I don't necessarily think I will put San Francisco in there. I think it comes down to Atlanta. I'm with you. We've been talking about it for weeks now, ever since San Francisco moved up. You don't move up there not to get a quarterback. So we've all seen what's been happening to Justin Fields, so you can probably go ahead and take him out of that equation. But this is going to be very quarterback-centric. Justin Fields is probably the only one I think that may potentially fall out of the top 10, which is crazy considering he was the number 2 quarterback coming into this draft after the football season. Has not thrown another pass or interception that has fallen like that, but had nothing but outstanding couple of pro days. So to me, it's about Atlanta. What does Atlanta do? Even though they're on the hook for Matt Ryan, do they say, hey, this is one of those special quarterback drafts, and even if we have to sit this dude for a year or two, we take him? Or do they say, hey, you know, we're going to take Kyle Pitts or maybe even Jamar Chase because of the rumors with Julio being potentially on the move? You know, you got those pieces there. I really think it's not about a player. I think it's that 4 spot with Atlanta. Or do they find a partner and say Denver and say, hey, we can still stay in the top 10 and pick up some additional ammunition and let Denver move up if one of their quarterbacks they see stays there, depending on the last asking price. So to me, it's not about Kyle Pitts. It's about the Atlanta Falcons and what they decide to do. You got a brand new GM. You got a brand new head coach. What is going to be their first stamp in the draft they have, drafted number 4, with all the special talents that we all think they have available at quarterback? And then, you know, Kyle Pitts being rated generational tight end. Jamar Chase, you know, the last time we saw him on the field, he just went nuts with Joe Burrow for LSU. What do the Falcons do at number 4? I think, you know, Robert said that. I've agreed with him in previous weeks that the draft starts at 4 because 3 quarterbacks are going. And you know Trevor Lawrence is going first. And probably Zach Wilson going second. Whoever's the final 9 is taking 3rd is going to be a quarterback. So what does Atlanta do?
Yeah, and that's a really good point. I got Atlanta taking Trey Lance at number 4. And if Atlanta don't take him at number 4, you know, as JQ mentioned, expect a team like the Denver or the Patriots to try to find a way to get up there to the number 4 pick to see if they can grab him. But, I mean, right now, like, I got Mac Jones to 3 to the 49ers and Atlanta taking Trey Lance at number 4. So it'll be really interesting.
Mac Jones at 3?
Hey, don't sleep on the Bears.
Mac Jones at 3.
Don't sleep on the Bears.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say don't sleep on the Bears is because the Bears were ready to mortgage the house to get Russell Wilson in the offseason. They were ready to give up picks and 2 of their defensive players to go get him. So that leads me to believe when I still think about the Bears, you know, not that these guys are Russell Wilson, but if they were willing to do that for a quarterback in the offseason, what are they willing to do in the draft if, say, Trey Lance or Justin Fields kind of slides and that price starts to go down a tad bit? Do they give up 80% of what they were going to give up to get Russell Wilson to move up? So I just say that to say this. Don't forget about the Bears. They were a player in the Russell Wilson sweepstakes, a very serious player. They still become a very serious player for one quarterback.
They got Andy Dalton.
Hey, Andre, I heard the Bears are willing to throw in a Dick Butkus jersey to the Falcons, too, Andre.
Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
And, Mike Singletary, done deal. Throwing the Mike Singletary jersey, it's a done deal. Go ahead, Gary.
I'd rather stick to you with 10 players.
I don't see the 49ers moving that high up and then picking a tight end either. I don't think that they're happy with Jimmy G. Not that I think that they're really that unhappy with him, but I just don't think that Shanahan has that confidence to just, you know, turn that team over to a quarterback that's just not quite there. I think he'd love to get one of these young stud quarterbacks and take that team. But I hope they screw it up. I hate the 49ers, so I really do think they screw this up. And I hope they end up taking the team and have no
They might screw it up.
that's that Cowboys 49ers love.
Huh? Oh, my God. Classic.
If he's not available, what can you do? In the pro football, you need you available. You can't be missing all these games that he's been missing. So for nothing else, they have to try to pick the guy that they think can stay the most healthy and help their team. Now, I'm interested in Sam Darnold. You know, maybe the other quarterback for Carolina, he ends up in Denver, or he might end up with the Bears, like you said. I can't think of his name right now. There's still interplay going out with some of these quarterbacks, even the Red Rockets. I don't expect him to start it anywhere.
Smokescreen. I love it.
Yeah.
You talking about Teddy Bridgewater from Carolina? If they draft the quarterback cutting loose, that could happen too.
I'm gonna turn it over to Lou because the question is, because, you know, obviously I was telling Curtis and Gary before you guys jumped on, my father-in-law, you know, got family out in California. They're huge 49er fans. And we've all agreed that if you're trading up to number three, you're trading up, you just mortgage your whole draft, not for a project. This guy has got to start, if you will, right? That's what everyone's thinking. So he can't be like, this has got to be the dude. And I'm curious, JQ, if Justin Fields falls, because my father-in-law loves Justin Fields. He's like, I cannot believe they're drafting up for Mac Jones. I'm like, I don't know either. But, you know, that's what we're going to see as far as what's happening. But you don't mortgage that much for that. And then he was thinking that Zach Wilson is not going number two. He's like, well, Justin may not even be there because the Jets are taking number two. I'm like, I don't think that's happening, and I'm going to turn it over to Lou, because do you think the Jets are all in on Zach Wilson, or is there a possibility that Justin Fields goes number two?
No, I mean, I've been thinking this for quite some time now, and I think they have a hard set on Zach. I mean, Fields,
Artifact.
I don't think he was going to think about going to the Jets, so I'm going to go with the majority of this pick. I'm going to say it's going to be Zach to go to the Jets. But let's hope he does something, doesn't become a bust, because what always looks good on paper doesn't always look good on the field. So it's just something he can deliver. Oh, like still quarterback
season. Yeah, I think they're in love with Zach Wilson. I don't know what he told them or what he showed them when he talked to them, but, I mean, you don't even hear no scuttlebutt about them. You talk about anybody else. I think they are pretty much, when they traded Sam Darnold, they are a few things that I think it's actually going to the Jets. That would be the shocker. If that's anything, we would all have missed the boat, and that would be where the draft turns if they don't pick Zach Wilson at number two.
That's right. Pretty
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Yeah, Zach Wilson is definitely going number two. They're impressed with his accuracy. They're impressed with his athleticism, and he's definitely going to win it. And, hey, if you look at the film, out of all these quarterbacks, Zach Wilson was probably the most accurate in throwing in tight coverages. And he probably was the one who threw in the more tight coverages than any of these quarterbacks. And and that's what's, you know, what a lot of these teams are looking at right here. And he's definitely going to be the number two quarterback taken.
But Mac Jones, number three, can he really go that high?
Hey,
you can't believe they traded up all
now,
after that, man.
Apparently he can.
I personally believe Justin Fields is the third best quarterback in the draft, in my personal opinion. I think Mac Jones is the fifth best. And, hey, I think Mac Jones is a Joe Burrow type quarterback, but he doesn't have Joe Burrow's athleticism. Now, I mean, he completed 77% of his passes. I mean, that's not a slouch last year, but he had probably one of the best offensive lines in college football history.
Best wide receivers.
He had some great weapons on that team. He had one of the better running backs in the league as well. He didn't quite put up Joe Burrow-type numbers, but he completed 77% of his passes, but he doesn't have Joe Burrow's athleticism. And that's why we'll probably put him number five out of the quarterbacks, but 77% of his passes. But I still think Justin Fields is the third best, in my personal opinion, even though I think he'll be the fifth one taken. I think he's the third
number
best
two
quarterback in this draft behind Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson.
Somebody said that he was Dak Prescott-like for Justin Fields. Can you believe that? They said that they compared him to Jack. And I know he had some epilepsy issues or seizures, whatever. Epilepsy or something with that. I'm sorry, JQ. That's
epilepsy,
kind of
yeah. But
right?
he's been,
yeah.
He's had it since he's a kid. It's something that's run in his family. But they also said that as they get older, it lessens in his family the way it has worked. It's never been a problem for him. And I tell you, I watch all Ohio State football. You know how I am. I never knew this until – to what this week?
That lets
you know that they, I mean, he's private about it, but it never where he came off the field or you saw him out the episode on the field due to it. So it's one of those things that people put in the medical text, and it's just for some reason trying to knock him down in this draft. I still think that Justin Fields is the second best quarterback in this draft. I think Mac Jones is third.
I agree.
Trey Lance is fourth. I think Zach Wilson is fifth. I don't think there's a serious drop off in there, but that's just my piece on it. I have Trey Lance and Zach at 4 and 5 just due to the level of competition and not being put to that test week in and week out like those other three have been. So, you know, we'll see how it pans out. I'm not saying that, you know, Trey Lance and Zach Wilson are bums, but as I look at them in the competition, what they can do, that's just where I put them. I just don't know what has changed so much that Justin Fields has fallen like that. But, you know, to, you know, it's views in the eye of the beholder. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I think Trey Lance, I have him ranked number four. But as far as physical abilities and talents, he's right up there with Trevor Lawrence. When you look at his arm strength, when you look at his athletic ability.
Yeah, yeah.
And but the question mark is, you know, do you have enough game tape to really do a true evaluation of him, you know, with only playing 17 games? But from an athletic standpoint, the kid's a beast and has a ton of potential. But, you know, do you just draft the guy number one or number two overall because of his potential? Or would you like to see a little bit more out of him? So it's a little bit of a gamble, and I think that's what Kyle Shanahan is looking at. But, shucks, when you look at Mac Jones, he only started one season and ended a few games into last season before that. And so, I mean, it's not like he has a whole lot more. I mean, he didn't lead his team to a Division I championship in the SEC and went undefeated. I mean, that says a lot. But, you know, that's the thing with Trey Lance. He's probably the most talented out of all five of them, but do you have enough information? Do you have enough information out of him?
And the fact that he is talented, but you compare his talent to the people around him, does it magnify and put him up on a bigger pedestal than he would normally be if he was playing in the SEC or the Big Ten or the ACC, you know what I mean, week in and week out? He's playing against dudes that won AA that, you know, of course, can't fit his jockstrap in that league. So, yeah, he's going to appear to be he appear to be better than he actually is because his talent, you cannot deny his talent. You can look at him and see the way he moves his talent.
Yeah.
But when you don't have anybody on the field on a regular basis that can come close to match that talent and make him work harder than maybe he would have, you know, at North Dakota State as opposed to an Alabama, Ohio State, or Clemson, that's my concern with him. That's why I got him four. It's not necessarily a knock on him. It's that I just haven't seen Rob's point. It's the lack. It's not only the lack of tape, but it's the tape against inferior competition compared to those other top three that I had. That's
same like Zach Wilson.
Yeah. And like Division I double way, you got to look at it. Division I double A, you know, he's going up against guys like Andre playing linebacker.
See.
Andre's a beast, man, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm coming down with the quickness.
Andre did hook us up with some nice gifts, so I forgot what the fuck was supposed to
do. Yeah, I was going to say, man, you over there talking that stuff.
No more gifts. Curtis Gary, so as Cowboys fans, we're going to let you guys have the moment. What do you guys want to happen for the Cowboys? Because there's some rumors that you guys were interested in Kyle Pitts. That's kind of waning, if you will. Maybe the price is going to drop. But what do you guys say that you guys need for your squad going into this draft on Thursday?
Well, I mean, I think Kyle Pitts will be a fantastic pick just because as everybody is projecting him to be a stud in the league.
Scary.
But
where
the Cowboys need help with is their defense. I would rather have them go and get some defensive help. If they got him, I would be excited. But they better have every other pick in the draft on that defensive side of the ball.
They got to get the best athlete on the defensive end that can. They really need a pass rusher, and they really need to restructure some people's contracts. They really do. They got like six of the highest paid people in their position, and they're not the best people in those positions.
Yeah.
We need to really work on that and work on the defense. And Jerry's going to have to pick a defensive coach.
If I'm the Cowboys, I'd try to move back. I would hope that just the field started to slide and somebody – they probably wouldn't trade with Washington because they wouldn't trade in the division. But like New England, because you know Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft are probably homeboys. If they want to move up from 15 to 10 to stop a slide in Justin Fields and move back, they could still move back to 15 and get them a Michael Parsons or somebody like that for that defense and accumulate assets to your point of maybe picking somebody on the offensive line as well as that defense. So by the Cowboys, and, you know, everybody's been pretty much giving them Patrick Surtain for, it feels like, the past 6 weeks. If I'm them, I'm hoping that Justin slides and New England says, okay, we stop that. Let's go ahead and move up before somebody else tries.
Yeah.
But you never know.
Is he going to fall that far? Is he going to fall that far, Chicken, you think? Really? Possibly?
I mean, they've got people. I'm reading the one on ESPN now. They've got him sliding to 15th in New England without a trade.
Right.
That's
yeah.
crazy talk.
I mean, I have him going number 8. I got Denver moving up a slot to get Justin Fields at number 8. But, you know, we shall see. You know, if he stays in the top 10 or if he slides out, it's going to be really interesting. But I got Denver going up to slightly to get him at 8. And you talk about Dallas here. And I have him getting Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State at number 10, who's probably one of the most freakish athletes in this draft. A guy that can drop in coverage as well as he can line up as an edge rusher and rush the passer as well. So I have him going number 10 to Dallas. I had him in the fourth round picking up a few steals on the defensive end too. Jalen Twyman, defensive tackle from Pittsburgh. I think it'd be a really good rotational player as well. And Ngakoue, the edge rusher from Notre Dame as well. Two guys that I think can come in and contribute. Maybe not be starters, but they have a couple of defenders that they can grab in the fourth round and come in and give them some depth there. But, yeah, if you can get Michael Parsons there at 10 or even a Patrick Surtain, you'll have an impact player. I know Jerry Jones would still like to get another weapon in this draft. And, you know, all indications are – They want to be the Kansas City Chiefs on offense, and that's what they're saying. They want another weapon, but you know it'd be hard pressed for them to pass up on Michael Parsons here, and that's why I have them taking the number 10 right now.
Yeah,
and like JQ, like you mentioned, I could definitely see them if something doesn't just fall into their lap. At 10, I can definitely see them moving back in the draft and collecting some more picks out of the deal. Absolutely. I think that this draft here, as Andre and Curtis and I were discussing, I think there's going to be a lot of movement, a lot more movement than what
realized. Oh, yeah.
I'm really excited to see how this is going to actually play out when it's all said and done. Because there's so many teams that want to move up. There's so many teams that are just looking for that one guy. If they don't get that guy, then what do they do? You know, then they're going to receive those offers. You know.
Yeah. I think, as you mentioned, there's some teams that want to move up, and I think there's going to be a lot that want to move down and get more picks, too. And, so I think it's going to be a combination of both. I definitely think he's going to be, as you mentioned, there's going to be a lot of moves in this draft. And I think, you know, you may not see a lot more moves before the draft, but I think once the draft starts and people get to see who's available when they're picking, who's still up when they get close to their range. And, you know, for example, a team might be on a clock and they may have about 6 or 7 players with the same grade. And what they're going to do is say, we can still get a guy we want in a position with a grade and a position of need and still drop down a few picks and get more picks. And so you'll see a lot of that as well.
Yeah.
Good stuff. What an interesting last year.
If you guys don't know, it was set, but at first heard it was going to be on the NFL channel. But I learned today that the ABC affiliate is going to pick it up on Thursday at 5 o'clock. It's going to be on kind of regular TV also, which is ridiculous.
Nice. All right, we're going to address what's going to happen with the Bengals in a quick second, JQ. I'm going to talk about the Falcons really quickly, too, because there's been some rumors about trading Julio Jones. And as much as I know we talked about him being very injured this last year, and 32 years old, he has a pretty huge cap hit. So you've got to take those calls. I don't think they're going to trade him, but I think they're going to listen to what's actually out there. And then just to kind of listen to, like, it's weird because for the first time, I have no idea what we're going to do. Because the previous regime under Thomas Dimitroff, we would draft for need. And this is the first time we don't really know. I mean, I will tell you this. If they draft Justin Fields, I will run out and buy a Justin Fields jersey immediately. I mean, I'm just like, yes, that's a great pick. But I can see them also getting Kyle Pitts. I can actually see them getting Trey Lance. I can actually, deep down in my heart of hearts, as much as it hurts your feelings, JQ, I would love even a Ja'Marr Chase, you know, because I just think that dude is going to be a beast. But, again, I don't know what they're looking at as far as the makeup of the squad. Now, the roster, we do not have a backup quarterback behind Matt Ryan. We don't have a quarterback on the roster right now. So we're probably going to draft a quarterback. We're going to get a quarterback in free agency. But, you know, if you're looking at the draft and they're like, we're going to draft the best player available. So if we get Kyle Pitts up front, then there's a quarterback somewhere down the line. If we get Trey Lance, Justin Fields, whatever, then they'll fill the needs throughout the draft. And like you said, Rob, I'm kind of okay with moving to number six if we kind of trade down with, you know, the Dolphins and kind of get an extra pick or something like that and still getting our guy. But I'm really nervous because, you know, Ja'Marr Chase just ate up A.J. Terrell, man. So I'm like, man, is that nightmare going to happen all over again? You know, I just kind of envision that in my head. And I know that Joe Burrow is campaigning hard. If he falls number five, that's going to be a huge conversation for the Bengals too. So it's just a weird situation as far as the Falcons because I'm like, guys, I have no clue what they're going to do. I mean, I can see having a Pitts because he's like a chess piece. Do you have a linebacker on him? Do you have a safety on him? Do you have a cornerback on him? He's the ultimate chess piece. We have four tight ends on our roster right now. So is that a move? We don't have any quarterbacks. So you're kind of setting yourself up to get a quarterback, but then I don't know what they're going to do, honestly. So that's me from the Falcon fan perspective, if you will.
Yeah.
And just
you talked about Julio Jones.
Now, all I was going to say was they've got to, in order to not to your point about the cap hit, they've got to do a trade, I believe, post-June 1st so they can spread that cap hit over the next 2 years. So if they trade Julio this year, June 1st, they can't use the picks from this draft. So it would have to be for a pick in the next year's draft, the one behind that.
Yeah.
So if you do that, you're not getting an immediate return on it because you can't. If they do it post-June 1st, they can't use the picks from this draft. That's all I was going to say. Sorry, Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember that too. Yeah.
Oh, no problem.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we've touched on this, and I think I maybe have even brought it up first on the show that the Falcons have to look at what they're going to do with Julio Jones, right? I mean,
absolutely.
When you look at the last couple of years, he's been injury prone. I mean, how many games was he on the field for this past season? Maybe six. And
that's it.
So what?
You're right.
Six is right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so if you're the Falcons, you have to look at what you're going to do with him, right? Obviously, the pay cut wasn't an option, or maybe it still is an option down the road. So I think if you're the Falcons, you either got to start looking at a replacement for him or you need to see what you can get for him by shopping him. So, and you are talking about the cap hit, what team is going to be willing to take up that cap or will somebody be able to renegotiate a contract with him as well. So I think here, if you're the Falcons, you got to be smart here. The guy's in his 30s. He hasn't been the same player. You got to see if there's still a market for him out there. Even if you don't reap the benefits this year, do you reap the benefits, you know, down the road? So, like I said, you got to start thinking about, you know, another weapon to replace him in. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I mean, I haven't taken Trey Lance right now, but as you mentioned, Kyle Pitts has got to be a thought. And Kyle Pitts is a hybrid, right? He's going to be listed as a tight end, but he's going to be lined up in the slot. He's going to be lined up all over the field. Right now, he's just a weapon. That's the way you got to look at it. He's a weapon. He's a tweener between the tight end and the wide receiver. He's a weapon. And Ja'Marr Chase, as you mentioned, looks like all indications are, even though he didn't play last season, from all of his workouts, he's been phenomenal. And
yeah,
the Bengals, I'm actually having them taking Penei Sewell at number five and actually going Rondale Moore in the second round. So kind of getting that offensive tackle in the first round, going Rondale Moore, getting that weapon in the second round, who will also help him in the kick return game as well. So, you know, we'll wait and see. But I have him going Penei Sewell on his latest mock.
If Chase is there, bro, man.
Yeah, and the reason why, I mean, I will be okay with that. The only reason why I think I've started to shift is if you listen to Duke Tobin, one of the scouts, and Zach Taylor talk about this draft, and what the experts have said is that this draft is deep at wide receiver and is deep on the offensive line. And on top of that, I think they say that, you know, not Roger Miller because he just destroyed the Buckeyes a couple years ago. He just lit us up. But when you talk about getting one of those top, you know, three or four guys and the drop-off to that next tier, they feel like that drop-off to that next tier in the offensive line is not as deep. Because I've heard them say the offensive line is probably one of the deepest ones in the draft. So when I heard them say that, I was like, uh-oh. And then the second piece of that for the Bengals is that they love Jonah Williams, the tackle they took from Alabama a couple years ago. And I still have reservations about whether or not he can play left tackle in the NFL. I think he's probably better at left guard. But when your head coach and your scouting head and your GM are in love with you like that, and they just have, for whatever reason, they are saying, we're keeping him at tackle. They just signed Riley Reiff from Detroit to play right tackle. Are you signing Sewell at five to come in and play guard? Like, that's really high for a guard. For a left tackle, yes, that happens. But for a left guard, it's like, if you read the tea leaves of the way they speak about Jonah Williams and his potential of him wanting to play left tackle, do you take a guard at five? And then they come in with that whole conversation about how deep this draft is with the offensive line. So I really feel like the way they're talking, unless somebody, you know, Atlanta says, you know, we're trading Julio, we're taking Chase, or somebody moves in there to take Chase, it just feels like they're trying to get the LSU band back together for Joe Burrow. They're going to say, you know what, we may not get that guy, but we don't feel like the drop off from that guy after him and Slater and the kid from USC, that we can come behind that and in the second, run third round, and then go off the double up offensive line, second, third round. And now all the Bengals fans are saying, you can say to them, hey, shut the fuck up. We got two offensive linemen, and we just got maybe potentially the best wide receiver in the draft. So be quiet.
That's
like, but you know, because you quell some of those fears, because you know the fans are all remembering Joe Burrow getting crushed by Chase Young in Washington, right? So if you come back with the first three rounds with a still wide receiver and you double up on the offensive line, you kind of feel like you address those needs that way. It just feels like that to me. I wouldn't be mad if they took Sewell. Don't get me wrong. It's just the way they're talking about it. It kind of leads me to think going to Chase. If you think about Zach Taylor, he loves a lot of three wide receiver sets. And the Bengals just like to draft wide receivers. You go back and look at some of those drafts, the same year they took Peter Wart, Chad Johnson in the second round. You know what I mean? And that draft they took John Ross, they took, I forget who else they took. They took multiple wide receivers. They like to take multiple wide receivers in the draft. So we'll see. I'll be okay either way. I think those are two elite talents. But I just get this feeling from reading and listening to
it. I'm scared.
If the Bengals take Penei Sewell, he better be your left tackle. They would be some dumbasses. They put him at guard. They better put Jonah.
I agree.
Penei Sewell is your left tackle.
I agree, but if you listen to them talk about Jonah Williams, they love Jonah Williams. And I don't know if he's buying the donuts or doing the dry cleaner or what, but they love that cat. And they want him to play left tackle. And he doesn't grade out as one of the best tackles, but they love him. And you can call him dumb for loving him like that, and I would agree with that. But if you're talking about their mindset going to this draft and sitting aside, they have that kind of love for a guy already on the roster playing that position. Do they then go and draft somebody else that's going to play that same position?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with Julio, what is the market for Julio right now? You know, what would be the market? I'm not sure what it would mean. But I think bringing in that stud tight end, if they have that opportunity, and you had a Julio Jones, if he could stay healthy, playing with that guy, that would be scary.
That'd
be a good fit, I think.
Yeah.
But what do you think the market would be, Andre, for Julio? What do you think that they could get out of him? I don't, you know, with his health issues the last few years. I'm not seeing you're going to get a lot out of the guy.
I think the first round, I mean, again, this dude is still an elite player, believe it or not. Even though he's hurt, he's still an amazing guy.
Oh, you're not getting first-round pick for Julio Jones.
We gave a second round for Mohamed Sanu last year, so I'm just saying, you know, it's probably a late first.
How old
is
Mohamed Sanu?
I'm not even going to comment on Mohamed Sanu, but I'm just saying, you know, maybe it's fire in the sky. So that's why.
He's got to be close to 30,
for
though.
Me, yeah, but he's 32.
You would be crazy to trade a first-round pick for a washed-up player. And
Green Bay was thinking about
who can't stay on the field.
Saying, Green Bay was thinking about it, and he just had a, like I said, last year was rough year for Phil. Julio,
maybe a low second round or a third round pick for him, but I don't see a first round pick for us for him. And
that was I was reading about that. That's what they were talking about. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they would be better off drafting a player in the first round and trading one for Julio.
If you
know, but I think
together,
and I think it would be almost to their best interest to just keep Julio there. And not worry about trading him because I don't think they're going to get.
Yeah, we
should, I don't think they're
to keep. But Gary, yeah. Hell, Jaylen Waddle is only 5'9". That dude's only 5'9". I thought the dude was tall. He's only 5'9". I'm just saying. Julio.
And the other thing about it, the Falcons, I think I read, are only $1 million under the salary cap, if I remember that correctly. So they may have a bigger owner to try to trade him because they can't sign the draft class right now, okay? So they got
to
do something with those guys currently on the roster.
Brady.
Yeah. To sign the draft class, they got to do something.
Yeah. We're talking about Grady Jarrett's contract too, but that's one of the conversations. There's a couple things happening, honestly. But yeah, go ahead. I can see a team giving
up a second round for Julio, but a first round, to me, for a guy that hasn't been able to stay on the field and –
There was a rumor, Robert, about Green Bay. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. You trading the first round draft pick, it better be for a 24, 25-year-old receiver, and his name better be DeAndre Hopkins or who else. It better be somebody in that category you trading the first-round pick for that wide receiver. His name better be Justin Jefferson. Devontae Adams, you're right. It better be one of those dudes in their 20s and not somebody in their 30s. I could see possibly a second-round pick. But if it happens, I think it's a dumb move for whoever trades a first-round pick with Julio Jones. I really do.
Well, think about it. That's not necessarily true, though, because if it's Green Bay, they were – what are they picking right now? 29. So,
29.
I mean, you're teetering on that.
Yeah, I know the draft
ball,
by the way.
Yeah, but you got to give up a six-round pick as well. I mean, the sixth number overall pick. If you're Green Bay, you're basically damn near giving up a second-round pick drafted 29 in the first round. So it also depends on that value of that first-round pick. You know, don't be Houston and suck and end up with the six-round pick in the first round and give it up and be like, what are you doing? Like, if you're Green Bay, you give up the 29th pick, that's a little different.
I still think, you know, if you could get a Rashard Bateman from Minnesota, you can get an Elijah Moore from Ole Miss. You can get a Darius Toney from Florida.
Yeah, they played in the league.
Somebody that's in their young 20s that will probably give them will probably have a greater impact on the organization long term than trading for someone who's only going to play 5-6 games.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man! You can't keep putting on him that he only going to play 5-6 games. I mean, he may rebound. You thought Aaron Rodgers was washed up? He won the freaking MVP this year. Like, you can rebound.
Right. Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers, Julio Jones has played two seasons with only playing 12 games, 6 games a season.
He played – no, he played –
I didn't
last
say he
year,
did.
The year before. He played 7 years.
You guys missed him. And last year, I gave Green Bay's draft a complete pass. This year, I don't think they're going to afford another complete pass.
Wow.
And I think they should have the easiest draft of them all, because they were the last team not to get in the Super Bowl twice. They need to ask themselves, what do we need to get us in the Super Bowl? They could have asked that last year, and they better ask themselves that this year. One more win. Mm-hmm. What do they need?
Here we go,
problems. You are ass. Hell no, not one more win.
Yeah.
They need some good players to get that one more win. And they need some players that can get them that one more win. They really do.
I have Green Bay taking Rashard Bateman at 29 right now, and he's 6'3" with great speed. Will he have a career like Julio? No. But I think he can have a bigger impact on their team here in the next 4 to 5 years than Julio could have on them.
That'd be a good pick for him.
Yeah. It is a deep draft for wide receivers, obviously. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's a good pick. I've seen Bateman, you know, of course, in the Big Ten. I mean, he's a stud. I mean, once you get Minnesota in the top ten, I mean, it's pretty close. Last time Minnesota was in the top ten. So.
Nice. Any last thought, Lou, before we turn it over to Rob for his mock draft, if you will?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it.
Nice. Rob, what you got for the mock draft, man?
I'm just going to touch on some teams and where I have them at right now. Dre, I'll start with your Falcons. So I'm showing your team some love. You know, don't count on it that often. But we'll start with them. You know, we already talked about Trey Lance. In the second round, I got the Falcons taking Christian Barmore, defensive tackle from Alabama. In the third round, I got them taking Andre Sisco, safety from Syracuse. And then in the fourth round, getting your possession receiver and Sage Surratt, wide receiver from Wake Forest in the fourth round. We already talked about the Bengals' first two picks in Penei Sewell and Rondell Moore. In the third round, I got the Bengals taking defensive end Peyton Turner from Houston. It could be a real sleeper, 6'6", 270 pounds, great athlete on the edge. And then in the fourth round, I have the Bengals taking Tommy Trimble, tight end from Notre Dame. And let's see, we already talked about the Cowboys picks, but I do have Dallas making a little bit of a surprise in the second round, running back Javonte Williams from North Carolina. Guy who gets the ball out of the backfield, dual threat running back. You know, Ezekiel Elliott looked like he might be on the downhill, and so giving him another weapon there. Is definitely what Jerry Jones is looking for there. My beloved Saints, we got defensive tackle in the first round, Levi Onwuzurike from the Washington up there in the Pacific Northwest. And then I have us taking a big cornerback, Ifeatu Melifonwu from Syracuse. Chris Richard is the defensive back coach now for the Saints, and he likes big corners. So I have him going. Then I have the Saints doubling down in the third round, taking another corner, Sean Wade from Ohio State. You know, Marshawn Lattimore, a little bit of legal issues, but it looks like that's going to turn out to be okay. But I think the Saints should still use some more depth, you know, at the cornerback position, especially after losing Janaris Jenkins. And then Saints have two third-round picks. They come back and get Kenneth Gainwell, running back from Memphis. Give Sean Payton another toy to work with, a guy who's also a dual threat as well. It's gonna be Winston. It's gonna be Jameis Winston. Yeah. And then in the fourth round, we come back and we stay close to home. We get Cameron Sample, defensive end from Tulane. Look at some other teams here. The Jaguars, first round, of course, Trevor Lawrence. I got him taking Kadarius Toney, speedster from Florida, with the other first-round pick, giving to Trevor Lawrence the weapon. The guy can catch screen passes and take it to the house. And then they have two picks in the second round. Jamin Davis, linebacker, speedster from Kentucky, is the tackling machine. And then a defensive tackle, Davion Nixon from Iowa. And then in the third round, I got Jacksonville getting Baron Browning from Ohio State. And then in the fourth round, Jacksonville's got two fourth-round picks. Of course, taking Ben Cleveland, offensive guard from Georgia, and Rydarius Williams, cornerback from Oklahoma State. The Jets, we already talked about Zach Wilson's. But then I got the Jets loading up on some offensive line. They only have one quality starter on that offensive line. That's Mekhi Becton. On the offensive line. So in their second first-round pick, I got them taking Tevin Jenkins, offensive tackle from Oklahoma State, and then in their second-round pick, getting the interior offensive lineman, Jackson Carman from Clemson. Now, remember this name, a guy who could be a surprise player, third-round pick, Dwayne Extras, short guy in the Tariq Hill mold, speedster, wide receiver from Western Michigan. Jets need some weapons. He could be a real sleeper in this draft. And then, of course, Robert Salah was like, hey, man, where? Give me some defense, man. Where are my defensive players at? So they come back and get Jabril Cox, athletic linebacker from LSU, got good size, 6'4", great hands. And then Patrick Jones, edge rusher from Pittsburgh. The 49ers, we all talked about Mac Jones. I got him taking a weapon, and Terrence Marshall from LSU. And then Josh Myers, interior offensive lineman from Ohio State. What are the Patriots going to do? Caleb Farley, you know, with that back surgery, you know, some teams, he's been pure cover corner in this draft, but there's going to be some teams that's going to be worried about that back injury, but I got the Patriots taking them, and I got the Patriots taking Elijah Moore, speedster from Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin did a phenomenal job with him in helping him develop his game. Then I got the Patriots getting the – Patriots got 3 fourth-round picks. I got to be getting some offensive line help. Aaron Banks, offensive guard from Notre Dame. Brady Christensen, offensive tackle from BYU. And Quincy Roche, edge rusher from Miami. And then the last team I'll touch on is the Dolphins. I got them taking Kyle Pitts. Then with the second-round pick, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, J-O-K, linebacker from Notre Dame. And they get some, and then he come back and get them some more defense with Jason Owai and Carlos Bashams. Brian Flores will have some athletic freaks if this holds true on that defensive end. Will give him a lot of versatility on defense. And then they come back and get Michael Carter, running back from North Carolina, to give him some depth at the running back position.
I just wanted to touch on
a few teams. For our listeners, you can get the entire draft on our Facebook page, Talking Sports with the 12th Man, and you'll get one more draft, mock draft, before the actual draft.
Good job, Rob.
Ooh, Patriots not taking a quarterback. Wow.
I don't have a second one in this mock.
My question for you. No quarterback for the Patriots?
Not in this mock, but, you know, it could definitely very well happen. If they trade up, obviously. You know, right now, after the top five, you got Kyle Trask, you got Davis Mills from Stanford, and you have
Kelly Mon.
I mean, those are three guys to look at. But, you know, out of those three, you know, I mean, Davis Mills might be the guy that's rising into that sixth spot. Maybe Kyle Trask. But, you know, I think it's just going to depend on, you know, where they fall in the draft. I don't think any of those guys would be worth moving around, trading up for to get. I think it's just going to happen, to, you know, where it falls. I think if they really want a quarterback, they need to find a way to get up and get Justin Fields.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it depends, because if you look at this, you know, it really depends. I think Miami is going to give Tua a little time. Detroit still got to pay that take off. Obviously, they're taking the quarterback. Carolina could, so that's one spot. Denver could. But then once you get to Dallas, New York, Philly, I think it's going to keep hurt. The Chargers have Justin Herbert. Minnesota still paying Cousins all that damn money. If they get to a certain point, they may not have to move up to go get one of them if they fall, just because those teams from, you know, 10 to 14 right in front of them aren't taking the quarterback. They will have to fend off maybe the Bears and Washington, maybe trying to move up in front of them to get one of those sliding quarterbacks. But they mess around. They mess around in that first round and have somebody fall right in somebody's lap, which I would freaking hate, because, of course, we all hate the Patriots. But, man, it could work out for them that way in the first round, which would be nuts.
Man, you know Justin Fields
going
to the Patriots. That's going to be your second favorite team.
What if Matt Jones falls right there, too?
Shit me.
What? Go ahead. What'd you say, Rob?
He's talking crazy.
I told JQ, if Justin Fields fall to the Patriots, you know the Patriots are going to be a second favorite team.
But what if Mac Jones falls right there? Because, you know, the Nick Saban and the obviously Bill Belichick connection. What if something like that happens? Like Mac Jones falls like right in it. That may be a good spot for him right there. If you think about it.
Oh, if Mac Jones is available to. If Mac Jones is available for Bill Belichick, you best believe he's taking it. No doubt about it.
Yep.
I don't think that's going to happen, but if it does, Belichick would not pass him up.
I think Mac Jones is going to San Francisco. If you think about, remember what they did when they took RG3, and we were all watching that draft, and they messed around and came back and took Kirk Cousins, I think, in the third or the fourth round in that same draft, and they did, and everybody was saying he's a more athletic Kirk Cousins, and this is Cal and his dad in Washington taking two quarterbacks in the first three rounds. You talking about Mac Jones, who they're comparing to a better version of Kirk Cousins? I really think Mac Jones, I don't think it's that's so right, but given the track record, I think Mac Jones is going to San Francisco at three.
Well, but remember,
hey, John Lynch
says
Kyle Shanahan is a quarterback guru. We're gonna let him pick the quarterback. So it sounds like Mac Jones
said that he said that Patrick Mahomes couldn't run his system. He said all these quarterbacks could not run his system. After a while, you're like, bro, you better save face, man. So that's why it's interesting. And RG3, they didn't like RG3. It was like the owner picked RG3, and then they wanted to come back and fight him and grab Kirk Cousins. So that was like a power move, and that's why Shanahan's not coaching, obviously, wasn't coaching there for the rest of it. He was coaching under protest, but that was a unique situation, if you will, JQ. 100% agree about that, man. So it's just – and he ran the same 4-something, 4-4, 40 as Justin Fields, even though Justin Fields was a little faster. But it's kind of eerie, the similarities, man. Go ahead.
No,
now,
one thing
I do just
agree
with, Kyle.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
I was going to say, the one thing I do disagree with Kyle Shanahan, if Patrick Mahomes can't run his system, then he needs to change his system for Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
That's the only thing I was going to say. Go ahead, JT.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was hard to see Patrick Mahomes coming. Like, I thought it was Texas Tech, and I just thought he was one of those air raid quarterbacks. I didn't see him becoming Patrick Mahomes MVP.
No one did.
The thing about Kirk Cousins is that you could have still selected any other quarterback, though, right? So they still saw when they campaigned for Kirk Cousins, things that Kirk Cousins, they thought that he could run that system that Shanahan keeps talking about. And that's why I compare that to a Mac Jones. They said that, you know, the way that he sees it, and I know we give Kirk Cousins a lot of trash, and we should, but if you're telling me that this guy compares to him, but it's like a 2.0 version of him, and I'm the guy, like you said, my GM says, you're the quarterback guru, you take the guy that you want, and you trade up to three to go, you know, make sure you get him. I just, you trade up to three for Trey Lance? I just don't think that Trey Lance market was that hot when they had to trade up to three for him. But people have been on the Mac Jones train since, you know, the Alabama championship run that game. So I just can't seem to believe that he's going to San Francisco.
You trade up number three for Mac Jones? That's crazy talk, man. I'm just tripping out, man. Mac Jones? Who? I'm just saying.
What was that, 77% accuracy? Like, there are certain things that everybody loves a guy that can run. Everybody loves a guy, you know, that can make plays when it gets off schedule. What they love the most is the dude that ain't going to turn the ball over and the dude that's going to be accurate. You can have the biggest cannon, but if you ask Mike Vick, if you can't give it to him in that window every time, what good is it you have to have a big old cannon? 77% accuracy. You can say what you want, but that is volume, especially to NFL coaches and GMs. That's stupid.
Yeah. John Lynch is like, if you take him, I'm wiping my hands. You got 2 years left in that deal, man. So,
oh, no, they're married to him. They get fired. One get fired, they both get fired.
But I'm just saying, but it's like, I'm just tripping out. You're going to trade all the draft capital for – I mean, I put it together. You have to be a hit, but it's like,
yeah,
Mac Jones, for real, that's the dude. Damn, we got to go ahead and wrap up this. We're in the OC portion here. Man, I'm having too much fun with you guys. Go ahead, Rob. I didn't get a chance to do the music, man. My bad. I'm having too much fun. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we had a great night tonight. We've almost exclusively talked about the NFL draft, so we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link to get the rest of the show. Next Tuesday night, we're going to be back at you live, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, recapping the draft for the Eagles fans on the East Coast, for the Panthers fans on the East Coast, the Dolphins fans on the East Coast. That's going to be 11 p.m. for you, Eastern Standard Time. Chicago, New Orleans, it's going to be 10 p.m. Central Time for you on next Tuesday night. Albuquerque, JQ's favorite event, the Balloon Festival. That's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Time. And our friends on the West Coast, our Chargers and Rams fans, we're going to be on at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Join us next Tuesday night, people. Good night.
Hey, real quick, shout out Marshall Faulk. If those reports hold up, I think Marshall Faulk is in talks to become the next head coach of Southern. I'm really loving what these ex players are doing, going back to these HBCUs. I'm a fan,
nice.
And hoping that continues. Yeah,
I hope that's a good story. Coming back in Louisiana, you know, Marshall Faulk is a homegrown New Orleanian. He went to college in San Diego State, but that'd be a nice story to see him go to Southern. Southern University is the largest black university in the United States, too.
I just thought of something. We're talking about the NFL West. You got Russell Wilson. Just got Stanford in L.A. And you got the weird kid down there in Arizona. If they picked up this young man from Alabama, they should riot in the streets of San Francisco. Because there is no way that guy's going to live up. They'll have the fourth best quarterback, and they probably already have the fourth best quarterback in that division. And now they're looking at making that mistake again. That's untenable.
Hey,
think about it.
So the 49ers did sign Josh Rosen, if you guys didn't know, by the way. Just a little quick side note. Didn't know if you guys knew that.
They did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
well, you know
said.
What that means, right? They're going to shop Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's
it's just a matter of time. They're going to go with Josh Rosen as a backup quarterback.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what that means. That just might mean that Josh Rosen might just be on the practice squad or might be the third quarterback that ain't active on Sundays. I don't know if that's what that means.
I don't know what that means. I'm getting text from my brother-in-law about the, you know, the 49ers got Josh Rosen. I'm like, and?
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like,
it was like, that's, that didn't even make the crawl at the bottom of the ESPN screen.
And the Blazers finally stopped with winning and won a damn game. And but Anthony Simons, the kid that won the slam dunk competition, he came off the bench and he hit 9 straight three-pointers to tie the NBA record with, I believe, Sprewell. Yeah, he came off the bench
wow.
And hit 9. He went 9 for 10. He missed his last one, clanked out on him. Otherwise, he'd have had the record. So he tied the NBA record. I thought that was a pretty good performance for the young guy coming off the bench.
Gotcha.
Shit, that's a good
gotcha.
Performance
good
for
stuff.
An old guy coming off the bench.
No.
I'm just saying.
I was going to ask Rob really quick before everyone kind of goes around the horn and wrap this up. Like, I did want to ask Rob because I'm curious about a couple of the wide receivers because I was actually curious about what's going to happen with Devontae Smith, where he's going to land, and then what the expectations are for Jaylen Waddle and for Caleb Farley because I know Caleb had a – didn't he have, like, some back surgery or something like that, too? I know he's a little slipping as well, too. So kind of curious about what's happening with those two players – or three players, if you will. So, yeah.
Well, you know, right now I have Devontae Smith going number 12 to Philadelphia, which if they were able to secure that pick, the Eagles are in desperate need of some weapons, right, for Jalen Hurts. So I think they'll be a phenomenal pick. I mean, you know, for some reason there are some teams that's questioning Devontae Smith's size in the NFL. It's probably one reason he probably won't go to top 7. I got him going number 12 to Philadelphia, but I like Devontae Smith's response. He said it. He says, we're football players. We're not bodybuilders. And,
not bodybuilders.
So,
yeah.
So I have him going number 12 right now. And I personally think he's the second best receiver in the draft behind Jamar Chase. But I have Jaylen Waddle being the second receiver taken. But I think Devonta Smith is the second best receiver. I have Jaylen Waddle going to Carolina at number 9, trading down slightly. To getting Waddle. And then Caleb Farley, I have him on 15 right now in New England. And I think about a 30% of the teams in the league are saying they probably won't take him in the first round. But then I think there are some teams in the first round that will still take him in that 10-20 range. And then there's some that were like, it would take him in the latter part of the first round. But, you know, without that back injury, he was considered the best pure cover corner in this draft. And even more so than Patrick Surtain and J.C. Horn. Surtain might be the better all-around corner, but as far as best pure cover corner, it was Caleb Farley. So it's just going to be a matter of what teams are going to be willing to take a chance on him. Right now, I have him going 15 to New England.
Yeah, and I get it. And maybe that, you know, Devontae doesn't play on the outside. Maybe he's more slot, so he's not going to be able to be as big as physical. But you look at what New England has done with smaller guys in the slot. You talk about Edelman and a Wes Welker. There are spots for those guys, especially dudes that can run routes. And Devontae Smith is a professional route runner. If you watch that dude, he can run the routes. So, yeah, you may not be able to be that big outside wide receiver, but there's a spot for him, especially in that we're in the passing league. So many teams now playing that, you know, three wide receiver set as a standard set with just one tight end and a running back in the backfield. So there's a place for him, especially in the first round. I think he's shown his ability. And it's just, we just at those pieces now where you see a DK Metcalf and everybody's like, I want that guy. You know, AJ Brown for Tennessee, they want that big old guy. And that's why I wonder when we talk about a Rondale Moore and an Elijah Moore, because they're not bigger guys. I think they're going to fall a little bit. But if you get them in the right system with two proven outside guys, you can put them in that slot and let them give them those option routes. And a Waddle as well. They're just going to be super hard to cover, especially in this in NFL where you can't even breathe on a wide receiver without getting a pass interference call. So good luck with those, you know what they remind me of? You remember Dante Hall from Kansas City, where he was the returner and he was the slot wide receiver? They're better versions of him. They're actually better wide receivers. With the size and the speed and that in and out cut, I really think those guys are going to succeed in the slot in the NFL. They may not make as much money because they're going to slide a little bit, but that might help them go to a better position, better spot.
You look at Tyreek Hill. Look at Tyreek Hill, 5'9", and it don't seem like any defense could keep him in front of him. I mean, he's getting behind defenses left and right. And, you know, with his feet, you know, not saying these guys are going to be as good as Tyreek Hill, but, you know, there's a possibility, right? And, Jalen, I'm sorry, Devontae Smith, nobody can stay in front of him either. And, defenses couldn't keep him in front of them. So he was constantly beating defenses and getting in the back end, too. So that's on the college level, of course, but I think he certainly has that potential for sure.
Agreed.
Go ahead, Curtis. Curtis, Gary, go ahead and get your last thoughts and last question as we get ready to wrap this up.
What I want to talk about is some of the guys in this area that I'm looking to see. Now, I want to talk about that running back at Oregon State. See where he's going. We know where
Sure, huh, JQ?
Tackle Oregon's going. I think there's a defensive back at Oregon that thinks he's going to be in the top two or three. And maybe Oregon State will have another guy come out try to make impact in the league. Too bad Rob walked off. I'd say Haley's got some nerves.
Yeah, if you talk about Oregon State, Javon Holland, the safety from Oregon, I have him going in the second round. And so he's probably one of the, outside of Penei Sewell, he's probably one of the better prospects that's coming out of Oregon. And if you're talking about peers from Oregon State, I have him right now going undrafted, but could possibly still make an impact on some teams as an undrafted free agent. That's the running back is the one position as an undrafted free agent that you can still find some sleepers in, right? But Javon Holland, he's a guy, safety, that I have in the second round right now, and he could possibly start from day one. He's one of those safeties that can play the free or the strong safety spot, so wherever your need is. But he can certainly – he's one of the top two or three safeties in his draft.
Gary?
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
For a change.
The safety, That's pretty
rare.
Yeah,
to be exact, I got Devon Holland going 59 to Cleveland in the second round.
I will be going through. I do have one team. I will be going through JQ's favorite vacation spot, Albuquerque. I think probably sometime in the next 4 or 5 days, I'll be coming through that way. So I'll say hello to all your people in there.
Yes, sir.
Balloon festival. Yeah, I mean, last minute.
Y'all crazy.
I know. They've been begging the Major League Baseball to take the All-Star game to Albuquerque.
No, the hell yeah. I can't believe there's no other parks in Albuquerque.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Well, wrap it up, guys, because we pretty much covered all topics. I know there's some topics about Mets in Wisconsin, and then LeBron's return to the Shadows. But Rob, it's on you. And then the Patriots are not drafting quarterbacks. So yeah, let's wrap it up, Rob. What you want to kind of talk about those last different things too? That's pretty funny. And I know I'm sore, man. I'm going down like JQ, man. So go ahead with those last couple topics here before we wrap up.
No, but I know JQ is a Big Ten expert, but I don't see Graham Mertz leading Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, I don't even think he'll be the favorite in the division in Iowa. The way they finished the season last year, when the sixth grade, I know COVID-19 ended their season. You know, on the surface right now, Iowa look like the favorite, but Ohio State is loaded. They could be very well back in the national championship game next year if they answer the quarterback position. There's no doubt about it. We look at their wide receivers. They might have one of the better offensive lines in the country as well. So they could very well be back in the championship game if the quarterback, one of those two guys step up at the quarterback position. But Wisconsin will be good. But I think Iowa wins that division.
Yeah, I just don't see a team from the West beating a team from the East right now. It's just the power balance in the Big Ten is laden in the East. I just don't see that happen. I think he's going to be a good story. He started off good last year. I just don't see him. And you got to think about it, too. Northwestern never gets any due. Patrick Fitzgerald always has those boys playing solid defense, and they end up showing up. So I just don't see that happening for Wisconsin. And the LeBron piece, they need him back desperately. Not only do they need him back desperately, they need somebody to go to Anthony Davis to remind him that he's Anthony Davis and get his shit together, because he's not looking good to come back. And I get it's been a while, but come on, bro. Come on.
Yeah. But he wasn't, if you really look at it, he wasn't playing that great before the injury this year. He just didn't look the same. And I don't know what was going on, but he did not look the same even. And maybe, you know, he was dealing with the injury more before they announced it, but he wasn't looking like a dominant Anthony Davis prior to him going out with the injury this year. So if you're the Lakers, there's got to be some real concern right now if you're the team to come out of the West. They're definitely still capable, especially when you add Andre Drummond to the mix. He's a rebounding machine. He's a presence down there. So they're definitely in contention, but I think there's some concern if they're the team to do it. And there's going to be a lot of competition. I mean, you might have to open up with Denver, but they don't have Jamal Murray. So if the Lakers are healthy, you would think they should be able to get by Denver. And then the second round, you know, Utah has a healthy Donovan Mitchell. And it's going to be interesting. But you got Phoenix, you got the Clippers. The Lakers are still the team to be reckoned with if they're healthy, that's for sure. But they got to get Anthony Davis playing like the way he was last season.
Agreed.
Well, yeah, you can't, you know, with those guys, you know, and their injuries, especially with, Anthony Davis, you know, he's had that injury bug over his career. If he doesn't get in there, get some rep, get some time with the team, and get back to how they were playing early this season, full team, they might even have a really hard time against Denver. Could be in that case. I think it would be at least a really, really good series. I think that if the Lakers are at full strength and they're a cohesive unit like they were early on, I think they beat them. But if they don't, then it could be another I still think they're probably the team to beat in the West, the Lakers, in my opinion.
Yes. There it is.
Yeah, they're living off, reputation right now, though. They're very good together. It's true. Just being an honest fan.
I don't have any faith in Utah. I don't have any faith in Oklahoma City.
Oh, Oklahoma City ain't going nowhere.
Faith in a lot of them. What about Denver? Denver, I think the, I think we saw Denver lose to the Portland Trail Blazers before.
Wow.
I think the Portland Trail Blazers can still beat Denver. I do. I pull
there it is.
But there, you go. I would like to see Portland get out of the play-in game. And I would love to see them match up against them in the first round.
Well, they're going to have to do a hell of a lot better than what they've done the last 5 games. 1 point.
Wow. I'll tell you
one
what.
Yeah, crazy. Well, just getting more guys instead of Damian to practice getting that last shot. Because in the playoffs, if you got four guys, they'll scare you then.
I'll tell you what. As loaded as the Western Conference is, it's becoming a four-team race to come out of the West. I only see four teams capable of winning the West right now. That's Utah, Phoenix, the Clippers, and the Lakers. And they're the only four teams I see capable of winning the West. As loaded as the West is, they're the only four teams I see capable of winning it.
What were your teams there? Utah, what, the Lakers?
Clippers and Phoenix.
You don't think Denver could come out of the West?
I don't. Not without Jamal Murray. They you need to have multiple scorers in the playoffs, and they'll miss him come playoff time. The Joker has been phenomenal this year, MVP candidate. He's been phenomenal, but I don't. He's going to need another weapon in the playoffs. You know, you have to have at least two stars on your team. You know, to come out of the playoffs. And right now, without Murray, that's going to hurt. Porter Jr. is not there yet. Aaron Gordon is a good piece. But they don't have Jamal Murray. Yeah, they're not going far. If they make it to the second round, that'll be a blessing for them.
Wow. Yeah,
now, with Jamal Murray,
good.
They is contender.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Good deal. All right, gentlemen. It's been a great show. Next time we chat, we'll definitely have a nice opportunity to review the NFL draft that just happened. Rob, your hard work. Appreciate you. And then we'll be talking about 2022. Draft class, which is crazy. They already start talking about next year's draft class, but we'll recap that and see. You know, it's always tough to get grades. Those are kind of like a three-year thing, if you will, but it's going to be an exciting couple of days here. I know I can't wait. Marcy ordered some type of chat with some NFL guys for wine tasting, Gary. You'd appreciate that tomorrow, so we'll talk about that, but should be good, gentlemen. So, again, let's keep it going. It's going to be a crazy draft because of what's been happening this year in COVID, so let's wrap it up, Rob, and great talk. Seeing you guys as always.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. It was fun. Stay tuned to our Talking Sports with the 12th Man Facebook page. One final mock draft. And stay tuned. You'll get a chance to see it. So definitely stay tuned here over the next couple of days. Talking Sports with the 12th Man, one final mock draft. Next Tuesday, obviously, we're going to recap the draft and possibly give out some grades. So you definitely don't want to miss it on next Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern Time in New York and Connecticut. Hey, it's going to be 10 p.m. Central Time. I'm sorry, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you don't want to miss it. We'll have the updates. We'll have the recap. We'll keep you updated on what's going on in some other sports here as well. So definitely don't miss next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Stand up. Don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
tonight, y'all. I'll let y'all next week.
Yes, sir. Kerry and Curtis, appreciate you guys. It's been too long. See you guys next week.
All right, y'all.
Good night, brother.
Good night, y'all.